Welcome to the Dr. Decision and Coach podcast. My name is Dennis McCurdy, a.k.a. Coach, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Dr. Leo Polizzotti, a.k.a. Dr. Decision. Our goal is to give you down-to-earth, usable information, insights and suggestions, and techniques that you can use to make better decisions and change your life. Hey, Doc. The sun's shining. It can't be cold today in Massachusetts. The sun's shining. We're both sleepy because of daylight savings change.
Yeah, that was a problem. Spring is coming a little bit earlier, I guess, because it's only the middle of the month.
I hope so. And today we're talking about everyone's favorite subject, maybe accountability. I think you're going to talk right now about the difference between accountability and responsibility.
Yeah, I never thought of it that much before, and I was having a tough time with that, you know. Yeah. When I finally figured out what we had talked about earlier, actually, someone can be accountable and responsible.
Right.
Maybe not at exactly the same time, but, you know, they did something that they were accountable for, and they did something that they were responsible for.
So you got an example of that?
Yeah, actually, I came up with a couple ideas. Let's say the coach on a football team, I was thinking when we were talking, you get a coach on a football team, it happens, and I wondered about that too myself, to be honest with you. Well, the coach, he's out, you know, because they lost three games in the last year or something, whatever the problem is. And it occurred to me, okay, so he's being held accountable for what the people did, which is true because he's the coach. It's your fault if I mess up. Mm-hmm. It's coach. So anyway, but then I'm thinking, but wait a second, what if the quarterback just wasn't up to par anymore? Mm-hmm. Now, they might mention that. But oftentimes, just happened again, you know, all the coaches got to go because we have too many losses. But he didn't make the losses. Now, I guess the theory is that if he was a better coach, they would have done better.
Right. So he's responsible for the overall outcome.
Right. And then is held accountable.
Right. Right.
So it's like a double whammy, I think. With the
double-edged sword.
Yeah.
In the case of an individual, though, when their own personal goals and things, they're both accountable and responsible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been self-employed for years as a therapist, and, you know, I used to laugh and say I'm the cook and bottle washer and computer sales guy and, you know.
Trash guy, everything. Yeah, right. One of the things I've always liked about the word accountability is, and I've said this before in one of my books, is the middle part where it says count. Because I always like to say count everything because everything counts.
Everything counts. Oh, absolutely. That's a good one.
And number,
you make that up?
Yeah, and numbers don't lie. Yeah. I mean, you could say, how many phone calls did you make today if you're a salesperson? Well, count them up. If it's 5 or 10 or none, that's accountability.
First time I had a sales job, and the guy told me to do like 30 calls a day or something. It was Cleveland Institute of Electronics, selling little courses in electronics. He said, put 30 pennies in your sport coat pocket on the left side, and every time you talk to someone, you put one on the right side. And don't go home till all the pennies are in the other pocket. And I took it serious. I was, quote-unquote, responsible.
Right.
I find out later on, talking to some of these people that have been on the job for a couple of years, yeah, I don't bother with that, you know that kind of thing. And one guy, actually, we pulled up in front of a house one time. He was supposed to train me, and he says, I can tell by looking at the house they won't buy this, you know,
right.
That type of stuff. But anyway, so I was responsible because I went right down to it and did it that way, you know. And I did pretty well, actually. So the accountability, I mean, I was accountable to do it, and I had the responsibility of getting it done, I guess.
That's, so you're responsible for the outcome.
Right, exactly.
And you're also accountable for the outcome.
Right. And then he would be accountable to the area manager.
Correct.
See, what happens? How come the sales are down? And if he said, well, Paul Lazzotti didn't do too good, they would say, well, how come? You know, they'd be on him because he was accountable.
And just like the 30 coins in your pocket, that's counting. You had to, every time you took a coin out of one, put it over in another one, that's accountability and counting.
Yep.
And in fact, we can use the counting, the count, that's one, that's two, that's three. And I numbers are good because they really do focus you on your personal accountability.
Yeah, true.
For example, I have an index card at my house, and this morning I was doing arms and triceps, and I've got probably 40 of these index cards all filled up.
Oh, wow.
So the date, A for arm, T for tricep, and there's a 1, 2, 3, 4 slash, you know, five, mm-hmm. five sets, 1, 2, 3, 4. I do 12 sets for each. Mm-hmm. And that's how I keep myself on track and accountable.
I have some folders, you know, just blank. Yeah. And like this morning I did it and I had four things that I had to get done today. Mm-hmm. I get three of them done, one of them half done. And I called the people and I said, I'll have the rest of it for tomorrow morning, which I'll do. I'll just make myself do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's how I do it, you know. And the problem is, though, that, and I think maybe this responsibility issue comes into the play, of course it does, that since I'm self-employed, so what happens if I don't get it done, I got to be accountable to the people that are looking for what I was doing.
Right.
And yet I'm responsible to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And if the computer goes down while I'm trying to get it done, I'm responsible to get the
for
computer.
For that, too. Right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera.
So we're also responsible for starting early enough so we don't, if we do have a glitch, that we can still finish our projects.
The glitch for me, because I haven't been responsible enough to do this, the glitch for me is getting overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say too often, yeah, okay, I can do that. Oh, okay, yeah, I can do that. So that type of thing.
I think that's one of your points later on at the end. We're going to tell people not to overcommit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I find out if I am, like in this particular case, by the way, if I just say, look, it's going to have to be tomorrow, 99% of the time they say, yeah, that's not a problem. If someone said to me, look, we have to have it today before midnight, I mean, I'd stay up and just do it.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way I do things. I'm very, very, I don't know, accountable to get stuff done if I'm going to get it done.
And it sounds like you might even like those deadlines.
Well, that helps because it puts the pressure on, you know,
right.
Like, you know, people standing over there saying, how you doing right now, you know, type of thing.
Right, right.
It's interesting. So how do you develop personal accountability? And one you already mentioned, and I'm sure you got some more, was this don't overcommit yourself.
Right.
Because then you can't. And that's been my big fallacy. My wife many times would say, well, how come you're going to do that now? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to help out, you know. Right. I don't want to sound like a hero.
I think one of the things, and it's always difficult for the solopreneur, you know, the individual mm-hmm. professional, because they're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And they're responsible and accountable, but there's no one, you know, what I would call having an accountability partner. No one's saying, you've got to do this by then. So mm-hmm. It's very easy to fluff off
mm-hmm.
when you're the only one.
Absolutely.
It takes a lot of discipline.
In our culture now, I want to say which organization. It was a United States organization. And this guy gets sent to see me because he got a complaint against him. Well, I'll say what, it was the U.S. Marshal. Had a complaint against him because three guys working under him, he went to them on a Thursday and said, look at guys, we have these reports that they have to have it upstairs on Friday, and it's Thursday, and you're not even getting it done. You've mm-hmm. got to get on it and get this thing done. They went to his boss and complained and said, oh, he really got on our case. It's not due to tomorrow and so forth, right? They send the guy to me for an evaluation and to, quote, unquote, coach him or whatever about this incident. And he said to me, he says, I was just trying to get them to do what was supposed to get done. So he was going to be accountable to the next person up, and he was attempting to be, I have to be accountable to this. So he's trying to get these other people to be responsible and accountable to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because that's the way the culture is now. Can you believe that? In
sure.
the old days, it would never go that way.
In the old days, everybody would just pitch in and get it done.
Exactly.
You know, and then later on, maybe, hey, if you had to work later, whatever, the boss might say, hey, you know, take a couple hours off or go home early
exactly.
on Friday.
Exactly.
But it's all about taking ownership,
right?
Which I think is a much
that's
deeper
a key,
level.
That's a key for, yeah. That's
yeah, taking the ownership of it and saying, you know, we're all accountable, we're all responsible, we own this thing, and we're going to do what it takes to get it done.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Things are getting more lax, unfortunately. But so another one is knowing your role. So you understand what your responsibilities really are, you know, 100%. So in some cases, so if I said to you, well, coach, so what do we want to do then, you know, type of thing. Because if I don't ask, someone's on the job, you know, gluing things together, they really, really need to know, obviously. And some people, they don't ask, and some of the quote-unquote bosses don't give all the information.
Right, and managers don't delegate properly, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. that's...
I think too often these days we undervalue the importance of training and education because that's the first thing that gets cut, they say, when things get tough. And it's the thing you probably need the most.
I think if you have motivation, that's there to a certain degree. Because I know the research in business is that if you give people a raise, that motivates them more, up to a level. Once you give them enough money for the way they want to live, let's say it's $100,000 a year, they won't go any higher. I remember this story. My uncle was a self-made person like you, and he told me that something he read in a book. He read all these books on how to manage people, whatever else. But to make a long story short, so there were mines being dug up in Mexico or something by a bunch of Mexican Indians or something. We're talking, a long time ago, 80 years ago. And digging out copper or something, and giving it, they're making whatever the manufacturer's doing or whatever else. All of a sudden, things kind of tapered off to a certain degree. So someone gets the bright idea, and they claim it was the beginning of peace work, the bright idea, go down and say to the chief, hey, chief, tell your people here that if they really do more, they'll get more money. He says, oh, that's really good, right? So they do this for a while, and then people started taking days off and whatever else. So he says to the chief, what's the matter? Are they not happy? He says, oh, no, they're very happy. They have plenty of money.
Yeah.
So they don't need any more. Right. I think it's a great story.
It's a balancing act. Yeah.
That's supposedly a true story, too.
Right. Well, it kind of goes back to the whole thing with responsibility and accountability, which you talked about earlier, which is clarity, having that clarity for what's the job? What are we going to do?
Exactly.
What are we going to do it by when? What's the job going to look like? And that's also part of accountability.
Yeah, exactly. Being honest and pushing aside your pride can be helpful, too. Mm-hmm. If you just say, hey, sorry, I didn't get the thing done. Like I said today, I told this guy today, I said, look, I didn't get it done. I'll get it to you tomorrow morning.
Right.
And he said, okay, no problem, not a big deal. You take responsibility for it. You don't just blow it off or whatever. I don't know what else somebody else would do, to be honest with you.
Well, you have to take responsibility.
You do, unless you want to get fired or something, I guess. Working independently like you do and like I do, it's a big deal. Because I'm not like in some big corporation. If I screw up on a time thing, the corporation falls.
Right.
But if that person says, hey, I'm not going to use that guy again for this because he didn't follow through like he said he was going to do, and then he tells his buddies.
Sure. And before you know it, no more business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So taking responsibility in the sense of if you did something that went wrong and so forth, take the responsibility and just say, look, sorry about that, whatever. Now, I'll admit that I have made up stories sometimes and say, hey, I know this sounds like BS, but what happened is I was having trouble with the computer.
It probably was true.
When I really wasn't, by the way. So whatever. The other thing I have listed here is using your time wisely. And that, with the charts you make up and the SWOT presentation we did, to really use things like that so that you use your time wisely. And we were talking earlier about if someone comes early and they're not supposed to be there for 15 minutes, it interrupts your cycle because 15 minutes you can get stuff done.
Right.
So it's always good just to be upfront and do whatever you can. The other thing to solve that is to think about your own actions, to step back and say, hey, wait a second, what happened here? I didn't get this done, or I had to do it that way or whatever else, so that you, in the future, you won't do that again.
That's what we talked about earlier. That's a tactical debriefing.
Yep, exactly. It's
debriefing of the process.
Exactly.
Right.
And you had said, to me anyway, that the research shows people do better when someone's watching.
Yes. There's a lot of research on that. It's really funny. And I happen to, and this is how weird that is. Think about this. It's funny. People will be, you ever seen it on like a television show and a couple's kissing on the couch or whatever, and then one of them looks over and sees the picture of one of their kids or something, or their mother or father. They go over and they turn the picture down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like somebody's watching us. Well, nobody's watching you, but we make that connection. There was some research done by a couple of professors, and one of the things they talked about was, especially with the economy now where people are working at home, they don't have that connection. Mm-hmm. Their supervisors aren't there. They were talking about having someone like a visual of someone on your computer or one of your counterparts where they could see you, you could see them.
Yeah, yeah.
That really helps people be more productive.
Yeah.
They even said something silly like if you put a set of eyes on the wall, picture of a set of eyes.
Oh, is that right?
People feel like they're being watched.
Wow, that's an interesting idea.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that
very interesting.
I think there is something, though, that could be a problem, that if you're attempting to hold people responsible, which was fine, you know, you want to get the stuff done that needs to get done, but some people can be overbearing.
Right.
I used to work in this particular job where the guy was from, not Ukraine, but someplace out there in Europe, and his whole way of doing stuff was, go on, we got to get this done, let's do it. And he wasn't a bad guy, but that was his style. There was no, how you doing today, and how's the weather, and by the way, how's your new car? It was just, hey, did you get that done yet, you know, type of thing.
Well, that was the old style.
That's right, right? Exactly.
It was like my way or the highway.
That's right.
You either do it or you're gone.
That's right, absolutely.
Know? And so things have changed a lot since then.
Oh, absolutely. For the better, and in some ways, though, it's... I don't know, maybe overdone.
It's like a mixed bag in anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, Coach, you had mentioned in our notes here that having accountability partners and so forth, what's a gold buddy? What is that?
That's a gold buddy is really basically an accountability partner, someone you sit down with. So you could almost interchangeable. You sit down with and you make commitments to each other. Like, I'm going to do this.
Oh, like
by
when
this
you give
time.
Me a hard time.
Like, no, that's different. Well, that's accountability. No. But a goal buddy would be like somebody you said, okay, well, we're going to go to the gym together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 3 days a week.
Yeah,
we're going to work for 45 minutes and you push each other.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I said in the staff meeting, we do a quote of the week or a word of the week. My quote yesterday was, which is by me, is, I don't like to be pushed, but I love the results.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's something an accountability partner or a goal buddy or a mastermind group, as we talk about, can do.
I remember recommending, actually, it's funny, probably 30 years ago to one of my clients, I said, you know, one way to get motivation is just to call someone and say, why don't we both go walking every morning at 9 a.m.
Right.
Or something.
Right.
And it was just enough where, oh, I've got to go because Mary will expect me to go, you know, type of thing, you know.
That was my first experience with an accountability partner or goal buddy, whichever you want to call them. My friend Bob and I used to lift weights when we were 12, and he was about a mile and a half from me. And on the days I didn't want to work out, he showed up anyway.
Yeah.
On the days he didn't want to work out, I'd call and bug him.
Yeah.
And we worked out that way. That's how it worked.
You know what was interesting? I just had a little flash in my brain. My brother, he played basketball, and so did I. And he wasn't a big basketball star, but we played on some teams, and he was good. He was better than me, but he was really pretty good. In the winter, he would go out in the backyard, shovel the snow off the ice, because we had a basketball thing outside, and in the winter, practice free throws and shooting and whatever else. And that was purely his motivation. Nobody was telling him to do it. Nobody was saying whatever. He was just so motivated that I want to play ball and be pretty good that he did that. But there are limitations, I think, even to that.
Sure. I would say that's a classic example of ownership.
Yeah, exactly.
He took 100% ownership for the outcome of his basketball plan.
So he's going to be accountable to himself.
Right.
And I've got to be here. And that's... My wife works out every day now. She lifts weights.
Yes.
I think she missed yesterday because of the time change. She was so tired. She was whatever. But she's been doing this now for 7-8 months. I mean, every single day.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow. And she's, well, I want to stay in shape and be healthy, whatever else, you know.
Right, right.
Pure motivation. I don't tell her to do it, you know. It just.
Well, I think that's one of the big things, too, is motivation has to come internally from inside.
But you can use a boost, though.
You can use a boost. Somebody can kick you in the butt.
Yeah.
But the real good motivation is that ownership and internal.
Exactly.
I'm going to commit to myself to do these things.
The old kick in the ass technique used to work. But But
sometimes it does.
Yeah.
And I think that's a function sometimes of your goal buddy.
Yeah.
If you're slacking, it's like, hey, you know, Leo, let's get going here.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And if you like and respect the person, I think that's going to go a long way to getting you to stay on track.
I think that motivation, though, it's kind of like, actually, when I used to play basketball as a kid, it's kind of like if you had the people cheering, you know, as you're going down the court, you do get a little extra feeling because, here we go. You know?
That's almost like you do better when someone's watching because if you're just running up and down the court yourself, it's like whatever. But if somebody's watching you, especially if it's the cheerleaders, you're going to go a lot faster.
So anyway, it's good to remind oneself of accountability is really a critical role in a project and being responsible so accountability goes good, you know, type of thing.
Right, it's kind of ties into conscientiousness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all that whole thing. That's what really makes us move forward.
I think one of the problems is you get some people that really don't care.
Right.
They just, you know, and so it's probably just a loss. They just don't care.
And I think that's one of the things I mentioned as a tip at the end, is which I'll mention now, is a mindset. You have to have the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you're doing in life, the mindset rules.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you get that mindset of it doesn't matter. And I think what happens is people get like, when you say they don't care, they get in those to their belief systems. It's like, there's no use. I'm never going to get ahead. It's not going to work.
Right.
And those kind of mindsets, which then they go like, well, what's the use? I'm not going to try. I don't care.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So mindset.
Well, that guy that just wrote the book, The Art of Not Giving an F-U-C-K.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he made big bucks on selling a book. That title, not that the title was bad. I understand. You know, you're not supposed to use that word. But you know what I'm getting at.
Right.
That's the motivation, that you just don't care. So, and I know there's a philosophy, I don't know much about it, that is the philosophy of not doing anything. I don't know how you live, but
I don't know either, you know. That's one for another time.
Yeah, exactly.
So wrapping it up today, Leo, any final thoughts?
Well, not really. I think I've learned some things, and I think the idea because of what I've done, I've worked for people and I work for myself, and it's interesting because I work for myself. I've been doing it now 30 years, let's say, and I live this stuff. You know, I live this stuff. You know, the checks don't come in.
Right.
I don't get paid or whatever unless I do whatever. Although when I work for people as an electronic technician, I work because I don't know. I just thought that was my job, and I'm getting paid, so I just get it done.
Call responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think the keys to accountability, responsibility, ownership are your number one, your mindset. If you need help with it, get an accountability partner, or maybe start your own little mastermind group or group of people that you all hold each other accountable.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are great techniques.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that when you first said we should do something on accountability, I thought, accountability, what are we going to talk about? But it's a big deal, I mean, without a doubt.
It's a big deal in every aspect of our lives. And not only that, all the people who run our country, our companies, everything. It's all about responsibility, accountability, and ownership.
Just don't bring up our government.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. So remember, responsibility, accountability, ownership.
Absolutely.
And number one, your mindset. Always be aware of your mindset.
Sounds good.
All right, Coach. I'm Coach. All right, Leo.
See you next week.